Blog Talk Radio.
Special Monday Night Madness edition of the Madden Voice. And man, oh man, as the Romo turns. Just when you're ready, I'm ready to come on the Madden Voice on this Monday night special 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. West Coast Time show. Abbreviated version of the Madden Voice so you guys can get back and watch the San Francisco 49ers host the Atlanta Falcons in the last game to be played at Candlestick Park. Tony Gonzalez's last Monday night football game. And we know everyone wants to get to Monday night countdown. And I know everybody wants to continue to follow the breaking story of Tony Romo. Is he out for the season? Is he not out for the season? We're hearing conflicting reports. What is going on? This is news, guys. In the last 90 minutes, this came to light. Tony Romo might be done for the season. Sean Lee might be done for the season. Do the Cowboys have a chance against the Eagles? We're going to touch on this a little bit. Now, we are going to come back and do another show later in the week, simply because we really don't want to take too much time tonight, as we would normally do. Because we do know that you guys want to get on to see the Monday night game. So tonight's format is really going to be, well, we will discuss this late-breaking news because it's very relevant and it's happening as we speak. And, you know, we will also review some of the games from last week. Really not going to get into next week's stuff, though. So we're going to save that for Thursday night. We're going to get into the playoff predictions and Cowboys, Eagles, Bears, Packers, you know, Steelers still week 15. They got a shot. You know, who's going to get the sixth seed in the NFC? You know, there's a lot to talk about just there. So we're going to really defer most of that talk to Thursday night and also game picks for the upcoming week. And I'll be here Thursday. I haven't quite confirmed with my co-host yet. It is a holiday week, but whether they can make it or not, Commissioner T will be doing a show Thursday night. You can bank on that. But tonight we're going to focus in mainly on the games from last night, talk a little bit about the 49ers game tonight. And of course, because it's late breaking news, we will talk about the potential that maybe Tony Romo is done for the year. And what does this mean for the Dallas Cowboys? But, you know, I don't do this alone. I've got some co-hosts here. Let's see. We're gonna go in a little bit different order. First, here we're gonna bring on this guy. Unfortunately, among his many accolades, is he's very close to being named EAFL Fantasy Football Champion. As it is very unlikely that I will win this game. It is not impossible, but it is very, very unlikely, and largely just due to a mistake on my part. But, hey, you know, you do what you can. So he's about to add that title to his list of accolades, but we know him as a co-host of Madden Voice. We know him as one of the best Madden players to ever pick up the sticks, huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and he's joining us tonight. K-Star, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's going on, T? Yeah, you know, one of the best Madden players, one of the best fantasy football players. It's not a problem. It's not a big deal. I'm not going to talk about myself too much. And my probable victorious championship over you, I'll let that actually come to fruition. If it's meant to be, it looks like it will be, we shall see. But, I mean, it's still Tony Gonzalez, so we shall see.
Yeah, well, you know, if Kaepernick gets knocked out the first play of the game and Gonzalez has a monster game, then I got a shot. But you know, well, we'll talk.
That
We
would
are
be
going to
good.
touch on it a little bit. We're going to touch on it because you know, there's a, I made a decision and I stand by my decision. And that decision, you know, if I had made a different decision, then who knows? I mean, maybe it's a closer game tonight. But I did not make that decision. As a matter of fact, if I had made that decision, I'd be winning right now with Kaepernick going up against Gonzalez. Still probably I would lose, but it would be a much closer game. But anyway, let's also bring on now Dr. Train is going to join us momentarily. He's coming, but I do have the newest member of the Madden Voice community who's been coming on the show weekly. You know him as my younger brother. You know, I can't call him my little brother because, you know, he ain't little, but I can call him my younger brother. And JB, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Appreciate it. Hopefully everything is going all right. Kind of stuck in traffic trying to do some late-day Christmas shopping, so don't mind me.
Hey, well, glad you could make it. Glad you could join us. And last but certainly not least, the man who won the EAFL1 Super Bowl, the man who's full of philosophy, and the man who's out there on the West Coast. Of course, the weather out here ain't too bad. Last couple of days, we've been up near 60, so I like it. But, you know, the man out there on the West Coast, man with the philosophy, EAFL Super Bowl I winner, Dr. Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's up, man? How's everything going?
Well, you know, we were going to lead off the show with talking about the Bears, and we're going to table the Bears discussion just for a minute in the last 90 minutes. As some of the fans may have heard, and some of my co-hosts may have heard, and let me just kind of lay out kind of what has happened, roughly around 4:15, 4:20. Adam Schefter reported that Tony Romo would be out for the season, and that a source has informed him that the back injury was worse than expected, and Romo would be out for the season. So ESPN scrambled to get coverage on this, and so did NFL Network. And the news conference, Jason Garrett daily news conference, was scheduled for 4:45. You know, suspiciously, it was delayed roughly 30 minutes, and I don't think that's suspicious. I think they were scrambling to try to decide what they wanted to disclose, what they wanted to report. If you watch the news conference, and I watched the entire news conference, the first thing I noticed when Jason Garrett came out is he was asked, "How you doing?" And he said, "Fantastic." I don't think that that's the reaction of a coach who's made the decision to bench or put his starter on injury reserve, whatever the case may be. He then proceeded to say that that report was not true and that decision had not been made, that Romo is being evaluated day to day, and they would bring in a third quarterback because of Romo's injury, because there's only two on the roster, but that Romo is day to day. And that, you know, currently the decision has not been made as to whether Tony will start or not, and see how the treatment goes. And, you know, and there was also a similar report to Sean Lee, Dallas Cowboys starting middle linebacker and, you know, a pro bowler, even though he has not finished a season. But that level of a middle linebacker, a similar report came out that Sean Lee would also be out for the season. And that was denied as well. And the same response is day to day. We'll see how he responds to treatment. He then referred to Terrence Williams, who had injuries last week and didn't practice Wednesday and didn't practice Thursday and practiced Friday and was able to play and had a great game on Sunday. So Jason Garrett says we'll see. Adam Schefter, Chris Mortensen, Ed Werder, and I even got on Twitter and Skip Bayless. They all say that they all think that Romo's out and that this is gamesmanship by the Dallas Cowboys and by Jason Garrett. I know this team better than you guys, but, you know, I'm going to ask K-Star. K-Star, what's your opinion on this? I don't know how much of it you've heard or followed, but what's your opinion? Is Tony Romo taking a page out of the Bill Belichick school of head coaching and Romo's really out and they're just delaying the decision? Or do you think there's any truth to the fact that they're going day to day?
Well, here's the thing. This is what we do know. We do know he got hurt in the middle of the third quarter. And we do know he finished the game, and he finished it quite well with the game-winning drive. So, to me, what's really going on with me is he has a herniated disc. He's going to need surgery, but the question is when. Again, this is me speculating. So with that being said, I'm assuming they're going to see if Romo, you know, comfort-wise, if he physically is able to play, maybe take an injection, can and will play, and then postpone the surgery until after the season. That is my guess, and I can only assume that the reason why they assumed Schefter reported that, you know, he had a herniated disc and he had surgery because he is going to need a surgery, but the Cowboys, you know, maybe have postponed that to see if Romo can play. Because, again, he finished the game on Sunday, so to me it's not so much gamesmanship. It's kind of just casting out. Even if the percentage of it actually happening is low, the Cowboys are hopeful. And if there's like a 10% chance he could play, they might as well postpone the surgery and get a couple days to see how Romo feels. That's a smart football move there because Romo's still a better option. You're going to hurt Romo better than Orton for winning that game for them. So I think it's just legitimate. Herniated disc is going to need surgery. The question is when, and the question is if he can play on Sunday and deal with the pain.
Gotcha. Train, had you heard any of this, or is this all news to you?
I was just seeing this now, you know, past 20 minutes or so on NFL Network, so it is fairly new to me. I don't know if it's necessarily. I wouldn't say it's necessarily gamesmanship. I think they're really just hoping.
Can you come a little closer to your microphone because you're sounding a little far away?
I'm sorry. Is this better?
That's much better. You don't have the most booming voice in the first place, so.
Okay. Like I said, I don't know if it's necessarily gamesmanship. I think they're really just hoping he's able to play. And I think they're just, you know, looking at all their options because from what I can read, it just says Tony Romo has not been ruled out. So,
yeah, that's just a quote from Jason Garrett. That's all that is. Schefter is still standing by his report that Romo's out, but Garrett has said no, that he's not ruled out, and we're gonna see, we're gonna play it out. JB, let me ask you real quick. I'm fairly certain this is probably news to you, as you're probably out and about, but. You being a lifelong Cowboy fan, do you think that Romo, do you think that Garrett is, this is gamesmanship?
I caught a little bit on the score, so I'm not getting through on my phone. Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to really dive into it. I don't think it's gamesmanship right now. I think he's holding out hope. I think the big question is how much pain can he tolerate? And then two, is there any potential for further damage by playing? I know a lot of the discussion has gone on about postponing surgery and seeing if he's able to play. If he can get an injection and it's not going to be further damage, then I don't see any reason why he can't play. But talking about a back and all the herniated disc and how that goes, that's real touchy. So to answer your question, T, I'm going to say I don't believe that it's gamesmanship. I just think he's being hopeful and prayerful that he can get out there on Sunday night.
Here's my problem with this, and clearly this is going to be a developing story throughout the week. So, and you know, I'm sitting here with NFL Network on too, and I'll be switching back and forth, seeing if there's any updates. But briefly, here's my take on it. As the story came out, I immediately ran to Twitter, as I have virtually every important Dallas Cowboy player, coach, front office person, media person, as I follow on Twitter, and figured, okay, if Schefter is getting this information, then I'm going to go on Twitter and somewhere there's going to be a confirmation. And nowhere from any of these sources was there a confirmation. All I saw was per ESPN, Adam Schefter, Romo out for the year. No one from the Cowboy organization was confirming this. As a matter of fact, someone who I do think would be in the know said, as Jason Garrett said, and as Ed Werder later came on and said before the news conference, is that he heard that Romo was still at the doctor being evaluated. So my question is, if Romo's at the doc, now I know these guys have connections and they have their sources. I get that. And you know, Schefter and Mortensen, more times than not, are fairly accurate. Not all the time, but more times than not. But if Romo's still at the doctor, where is this coming from? The coach hasn't even seen him yet. So I'm questioning the legitimacy of the report. I think what we're hearing now is closer to accurate. I think the herniated disc is probably correct. that he's going to need surgery at some point is probably correct. And I think what Garrett said is, I don't think Garrett was being 100% forthright, however, because he said they're going to bring in a quarterback. So you're deciding to bring in a quarterback for a reason. There's a reason you're bringing in a quarterback. You haven't had three quarterbacks on the roster all year. Well, that's not true. Early in the season, they did have a guy on a practice squad, but they let him go. You haven't had, for most of the year, you haven't had a third quarterback. Now you're bringing in a third quarterback. That, to me, was the most telling part of the whole news conferences. Even though Tony's not ruled out, you know that this injury has got your attention. Even though you haven't talked to Tony yet, you know this injury has got your attention. You're bringing in a third quarterback. So I'd say they're going to wait and see if treatment, if it responds to treatment. I believe that Jay is right. How much pain can Tony play in? And we do know from the past he can tolerate a lot of pain. And, you know, is this something that if there's a hit on the back that, you know, could get worse? Is this injury something where this is as bad as it's going to get and it's only a matter of how much pain you can take, or could this get worse? I think those are the things we're going to hear about over the next few days. Train, real quick, and you know, if you guys do join me Thursday night and we find out Romo's not playing, we can get into this a little bit more. And if you guys can't join me, that's fine. I'll get some stuff from you and bring it on the air myself. But you know Kyle Orton better than all of us, being that he was a starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears and played in the Super Bowl. What are your thoughts, Bruce, briefly, on Kyle Orton as a starter going up against the Eagles? That's our next topic. Really laid it on your Bears yesterday.
Man, it's kind of hard to say Kyle Orton is definitely a starting quarterback, else someone would have grabbed him to be a starting quarterback. He's what I consider a guy that will take risks. He seems to take calculated risks. I just know when he was with Chicago, he definitely took the safe passes, you know, dumping it off to the running back. At one point, they did kind of like, you know, they had a rein on him as far as how much they would allow him to do with the offense. In a game such as the one that's coming up for him to be in, I think it may be a little too big for him because of what's riding on, because he doesn't have that chemistry with the players that Tony Romo has built. But you never know. This season has been crazy altogether. So I think he's a viable quarterback, and barring that they can, as a team, find the weaknesses in Philadelphia's defense, you know, he may be able to move the offense efficiently. But I think it'll definitely be a heavy dose of DeMarco Murray, in order to help him out.
Right. Last question on this topic goes to K-Star. Already rumors are flying around the internet that the Cowboys should bring in Tim Tebow. You're the biggest Tim Tebow fan I know, minus one particular game. What are your thoughts on Tim Tebow backing up Kyle Orton potentially?
That's ridiculous. I mean, look, Orton's going to play more than likely unless Romo can physically is able to play. And he's been with the team all year. He knows the cadence. He knows the preparation. He knows how to hit the ball to Dez Bryant. I'm quite sure of that. And Jason Witten as well. That's silly. There's no reason to bring in Tim Tebow.
Well, they got to bring in someone, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, no. But
they got to bring in someone.
They could bring in Vince Young. Who knows? I mean, at that point, if the Cowboys had to play their third quarterback, then, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It's just I think Orton plays. I hope to see Romo play, but, you know, Orton's a good player.
Gotcha. All right, Madden Voice fans, there'll be much more, of course. You know, I'm all over the Cowboys anyway, but this is right now probably the biggest news story in pro football because it's been on all the sports channels for the last 2 hours. Is Tony Romo going to start for the Dallas Cowboys? Commissioner T will be on top of it and keep everybody updated right through Christmas as much as possible. And the Madden Voice will be back with a full update Thursday night. And what happens in Jerryland, Jerry World, Sunday night, as the Cowboys host the Philadelphia Eagles for the NFC East title. Told you, Train, the Cowboy game would get flexed over the Bears game. And speaking of your Chicago Bears, I mean, you should be glad that Tony Romo's that led our story. But now we gotta, you know, and I'm not all I got to say is I had to hear last week about the 40 burger being dropped on Dallas. And the only thing I said last night was I get to come on and talk about the 50 burger dropped on the Bears. Okay. There's no pleasure in that because it's the Eagles. And of course I wanted the Eagles to lose, but I had to say once that you got a 50 burger dropped on you. But Train, and then I know K-Star is chomping at the bit to ask the almighty question. But before we go to K-Star's question, and I'm curious my brother's thoughts on the game last night as well. But before we bring them guys in, Train, you know, is this – here's the question. We all saw the game, so we don't really need to recap the game. But here's the question.
Right.
Is this just a game, one of those games, you know, just kind of happens, and the game just kind of got away, and it's an anomaly. It's just, you know, it's the exception and not the norm. And, you know, you just kind of say, if you're in the Bears organization, you just kind of say, hey, you know what, sometimes it happens. You know, sometimes a team gets momentum, and they just get rolling, and you know what, you're on the other end of it, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. And, hey, it's not an indication of who we are as a team. We got to regroup and get ready for these Packers on Sunday night. Is that your mentality, or do you think, because I did a little legwork and found out that your team has leads the league and given up 40-plus points, and this would be the fourth time that you've given up more than 40. And I thought
targets for everyone.
Yeah, I thought it was the Cowboys that had that distinction, but it's the Bears. So which path, as the Bears aficionado on this cast, is it a one-shot deal, you move on, it's not a big deal, or do you sit there and say, oh, goodness, we're in trouble?
I think it's an anomaly in the sense that I don't expect them to play the way they played last night again. I'm not saying it's an anomaly to say that, yeah, they're going to bounce back and want to go in next week and want to beat Green Bay. You know, of course, that's mentality. I just think it is an anomaly in the sense that, no, they won't perform this badly because it was bad across the board. There was no unit, not one unit from quarterback to coach that did well in this game. No one did well. So to me, for the team as a whole, even to the coaches, to fail at this, to do as bad as they did yesterday, I feel it's an anomaly. I mean, the good thing is that Chicago is still in the playoff hunt. One win next week, and they're in the playoffs. So season is not lost, but you did have a really, really, really bad game.
Okay. K-Star, I know the question that you want to ask. Take it away.
Well, let's be real here. The Eagles particularly haven't had a very good defense all season long. And here comes the Mark Trestman offense. The offense that's in line at the scoreboard throughout the season with either Cutler or McCown at quarterback. And Train keeps pounding at his chest that, you know, Cutler's the guy that leads the most scoring drives of the two. My question to you is what happened last night with Cutler? And the fact of the matter is, doesn't Cal deserve a chance going to Week 17 based off that awful, abysmal performance? The fact that there was only, what, 13 points? How many points were put against the Eagles exactly?
11.
Which is unexcusable. I mean, 11 points against the Eagles. Do you that Jay Cutler at this point still deserves his job based off what you've seen?
Yes. Jay Cutler is the starter. And like I said before, no unit played well. Cutler didn't have time to throw the ball last night. The Eagles sent pressure all night long. They dared him to throw the ball downfield. If you even took your time to look at the replays, they didn't leave Alshon Jeffries and Brandon Marshall, neither one of them on the island. They focused on doubling both those receivers, and they were able to get pressure with maybe five, maybe six. And because they were getting pressure, Chicago was forced to lead the running back in, were forced to lead the tight end in. So a lot of time on passes, they only had three people going out. The Eagles had six people defending that. Six, three, yeah, you do the math, you can double everybody and still be okay. So give credit to the Eagles for their game plan against Chicago. You don't put that game on one person. Right. No unit played well. The line allowed five sacks. I don't care who is at quarterback. You can't handle that kind of pressure. No one could.
So that to you is more on Trestman then for like keeping. I mean, yes,
it is more on the coaching staff as far as preparation. They were not. It's coaching staff as part of preparation and players as far as execution. The line didn't block well. The defense couldn't even get one stop.
No, we're not talking about the defense. We know the defense was bad.
It's just the whole.
I'm focusing on the quarterback.
But listen though. It all falls together because when your defense cannot make a stop, then you and the other offense is constantly scoring, then eventually that dictates what your offense is going to do. If your special teams is turning the ball and your offense can't get right back on the field, it dictates what your offense is going to do once they score again. Next thing you know, you're down 21-0 in the first quarter. It still has a minute and something left in the first quarter. You're back behind the eight ball before the game gets even started good. That would dictate anyone's offense. I don't care who you have in there at quarterback. You're behind the eight ball.
Right.
So no one plays well.
But, Train, don't you have – isn't prior to last night's game, the Bears' offense one of the high-powered offenses in the NFL, and most of that
that's
has been
behind. I feel that way.
Let me finish.
Okay.
But most of that over the last many weeks has been behind McCown. I mean, you know, Cutler missed quite a few games, and McCown kept that scoring up. And I don't have the stats in front of me, but he may have even increased it. I'm going off of recollection. I'm not totally sure there, but he certainly kept it as, I think, the number two scoring offense, if I remember correctly, in the NFL with Jeffries and Marshall and Bennett and Forte. You guys have, you know, I saw what you did to the Cowboys. You guys have weapons, you know, and – isn't there, you know, I'm just looking at yesterday's game, man. It just looked to me like, I get it, you know, pressure and all of that. It just looked like Cutler just looked bad, though. You know, he looked, thank God Matthew Stafford played yesterday because he's probably the only one that looked worse than Cutler. Yeah, Matthew Stafford looked horrible.
He looked horrible.
I mean, good Lord, he looked horrible. But I get your loyalty to Cutler, and I don't even really have an opinion. I just think it's more of a – I think this week, maybe last week, because Cutler won, even though he threw two picks, you know, and it was his first game back and a little rusty. Okay. I know as a fan of the game, I expected more. I expected it if it was going to be a high-scoring game and a shootout that you guys were ready and prepared to match the Eagles, and it just didn't look that way. And some of that did look like Cutler. It didn't – scheme and all that, I get, but it also looked like your quarterback just wasn't like – he just – like you're saying Orton – that's what I expect Orton to be like Sunday night, frankly. You know, that's what I expect. I don't know. I could be wrong. I know your team better than I do, but I don't know, man. It would have been interesting if McCown had been stayed the starter. You know,
if people
want to
say, if people want to take the stance that if McCown was in there, Chicago would win, I think that is asinine. I think you take credit away from how the Eagles played, because I'm looking at that Eagles offense and I'm looking at the way their defense was coming in. As their defense was sending pressure, I'm like, well, where's the outlet? Well, there's no outlet because the running back is in the block. You know, the tight end is going up the field. Everyone's covered.
Train, one thing you gotta remember though. You gotta remember.
Uh-huh.
A week ago, the Eagles gave up 48 points to a Minnesota team.
And they did. Absolutely, I understand that.
So I mean, their defense, they're not the 85 Bears. Their defense, you can score on them. That's why the question is being asked.
And it's not, Train, like the thing is, I know what you're saying. Like, of course, I mean, whenever another opponent's offense is score a lot of points, you know, puts more pressure and it helps that defense and pass rush and so on and so forth. But I think that we all expected a high scoring game between two high scoring offenses.
And so did I. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And the one thing that concerned me, and you're right, they kept a lot of people in the block. My question is why though, because from what I've seen, the Bears always had like almost everyone go wild. They just had a quick short pass game, you know, Forte is always leaking out the backfield and flat. Like, it just seemed kind of weird because from, you know, what I saw with McCown, I mean, I'm pretty sure they've been doing the same thing with Cutler, but with McCown, they always had, you know, receivers going out everywhere, and they would just dink and dunk and just, you know, create mismatches with the short passing game, and it was just kind of weird. I didn't expect that at all.
the offense didn't change because, you know, Cutler came back. Of course, they'll probably put more on Cutler because they expect more of him, you know, and I understand that. And I'm not making any excuses for the way Cutler played or anyone played last night. But I don't feel that a change at quarterback would have allowed us to win that game. And I don't think McCown would have done any better than Cutler did last night. And with the way that game was going, there was I don't see McCown bouncing us back.
Mm. Well, I think
in no shape or form in that particular game. And I mean, as far as McCown's game against the Cowboys, I haven't seen the Cowboys defense play that bad all season. That was like the worst I've seen the Cowboys defense play, with the exception to playing Denver, you know, and that's the one game that McCown stats like blew up.
But don't mistake what we're saying, and let me bring my brother in here for a minute. But don't mistake what we're saying. You're jumping already to 21-0 and saying the game was out of control. I'm saying if McCown's in there from possession one, does it ever become 21-0? Does he have a better feel for this offense, and it becomes the shootout that we expected? That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying
trust me, I understand exactly what you're saying. I'm looking at the game from the beginning, and from the beginning, I don't see Chicago getting in. If you look at the game, first two plays are run plays. So Chicago was already going in there with the mindset, let's get Matt Forte going. And neither time for that first possession it didn't work, and the next possession – when they were down 14-0, it didn't work. They came out. They wanted to stick with the game plan. They wanted to get Matt Forte going.
But you're assuming that the same results happen if you're calling the same play with a different quarterback. That quarterback.
Okay, but if you're running the ball, the quarterback is simply the handoff man, and it's up to the line to open holes and block and open holes. Running back. That's not on the quarterback.
Train. Every quarterback in the NFL has the ability to change the play at the line of scrimmage. Every quarterback. There's not a quarterback in this league that can't get to the line and see an unfavorable matchup and audible out of it and change the play. So what I'm saying is we don't know. You cannot sit here and assume that because McCown went in there and they ran the same and called the same play. Not to mention, we know that head coaches – call different plays based on the quarterback behind the center. So all I'm saying is if McCown is there with what he has done this season as the Bears quarterback, then I don't know that they're calling the exact same plays in the exact same way. And even if they are, we can't assume that McCown isn't making in-play adjustments or pre-snap adjustments that could have led to a different outcome. We don't know. That's all.
I'm not oblivious to anything that you're saying, and I do get your point. But as I sit and I watch that game, and I sit and I watch McCown play, and I sit and watch Jay Cutler play, and I saw what kind of game plan, I saw what we were trying to do. No, quarterback change to me in that game does not make a difference. If you guys want to believe otherwise, then you know everyone's entitled. But I don't believe McCown makes a difference. I just don't. Not JB. With the way the team played in that game.
JB.
You got to tip your hat first off to the Eagles, the way they played. But just looking at that game from the start, it just seemed like not just the quarterback. I mean, I think we're all getting too deep into the quarterback play right now. Just from a veteran team perspective, they came out flat. With everything on the line, they just came out completely flat, like they didn't even want to play. And that right there was a disappointment. That, to me, speaks to the preparation from the head coach. And then to add to it, you have you should make adjustments at halftime. And I know that had to be one heck of a halftime. I hate to be in the Bears locker room to hear that. But you're on the road, hostile environment. You're still – game not over. I don't care what the score is. Game not over. You still got something to play for. If you think the game is over, fine, sit on the bench. But – you still got 30 minutes of football to play, and we've already seen what happened last weekend. Unfortunately, with my boys, anything is possible. So you make your adjustments at halftime. That, too, speaks on the coach, but at that point, it also speaks to the players, too. Tuck your skirt in and let's go. Show something. And in the second half, you still didn't see anything. So from those two perspectives, I was disappointed at just the overall play of the Bears. Now, if you want to talk about the quarterback situation, I don't have a dog in the hunt. But for me personally, and train. No offense, but if you got a hot hand, you stay with the hot hand. That's just my own opinion, especially when you got a chance to get into the playoffs, win your division. You got the Lions and the Packers snipping at your tail. Go with the hot hand. So I was never a fan of the switch to begin with, but he did it. It's done. I don't think he should waffle back and put McCown in now, because that's going to show a complete lack of leadership on Trestman's part. So he kind of painted himself in the corner, and he has to play Cutler from here on out unless he gets hurt. But overall, just disappointment because of the fact it's a veteran team and there's too much on the line to just come out and put a dud up like that.
Yeah, I think Jay makes a valid point, Train, and anybody out there listening, and anybody that wants to chime in, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525, special edition of the Madden Voice on Christmas Eve. We've talked about Tony Romo. Is he out for the season? We're talking about the Bears getting it handed to them. We're going to talk a little bit about the Cowboys' big win. We won't spend a lot of time on that, but we do have to touch on that. Steelers, do they have a shot? Some upsets yesterday. You know, Cam Newton, whatever, and a couple other things, and then we'll get out of here and let everybody get back to watching ESPN and NFL Network. But I do have to agree with Jay on that level of this is a game you go in and you win the division. And if for some reason, yeah, I mean, that I will agree with. I still think there is some validity to McCown being a starter straight through and having a good handle of this offense, it would be curious what would have happened had they not made the switch last week, and he's still been the starter straight through. I mean, Jay's right.
What's funny about the whole quarterback controversy is that, you know, unless Cutler were to win, it would be an issue. Unless it's W, it's gonna be an issue. So really, it's almost a lose-lose situation. Unless Cutler wins, it's a quarterback controversy, but it's strange to me because McCown didn't win every game he started.
He didn't, but
you know,
we lost some
of the two games that we needed.
But
it's just funny to me, but because it's Cutler and because he is the starter, he's supposed to be the leader. If he's not winning, and because McCown won a few games while he was out to keep us in playoff contention, it's a controversy to me.
Train.
I don't fully get it.
With all due respect, you're insulting me because I have Romo as my quarterback, and no one is more maligned in the NFL than Tony Romo. So please
I'm
do not.
I'm not talking about anyone being more maligned.
Let me make my point. I let you make yours. Let me make my point. It is a valid question because yes, McCown was 3-2. He also played that stretch of games at a level that Cutler never played in his entire career. That's a fact. If you look at the stats, if you look at his performance, his QBR rating, touchdowns to interceptions, his performance in that stretch of games, you will not find a stretch like that in Cutler's career. He had an 87 QBR during that time period. Cutler has never had that. So it's a valid question because he did play at a level that even Cutler hadn't played at. I get he's the leader of the team. He's a franchise quarterback, and he's the one getting paid the money. And I think I sat here and said, he should be the starter. But I thought it was a valid question. They went 3-2 in his absence, and he just looked like he had a good command of that offense. It just looked like he just really knew what he was doing. It's a valid question. And, yes, the whole point is to go out there and win. So you're right. If Cutler goes out there and lays an egg after missing 6 or 7 games, whatever he missed, then, yes, the question's going to come back. Jeez, you know, should this have happened? So it is a valid question. Then you take into consideration everything that was on the line last night and what the team should have done as a team. And Cutler is one of the leaders on that team. It's a valid question. Now, you know, I respect your position. I respect it wholeheartedly. You are the Bears expert on this panel. You know that team inside out intimately. So I respect your opinion. But I also respect the right to ask the question, what do you think would have happened if McCown had stayed the starter? And your opinion is it would have been no different. I respect that. I'm not sure I completely agree. We'll never know. But, yes, if Cutler goes out and wins, we're not having this conversation.
Nope. And well, she had spelled a great
well,
point.
Let me jump in one thing, though, and say this real quick. I mean, let's take that and spin it around a little bit. If McCown wasn't playing as well as he had played, would we still be having this kind of a discussion, too? So there's two sides to it also. I mean, it's not just if Cutler wins and then are we having a discussion. No, if McCown hadn't come out and played this well from the get-go, we wouldn't be having this discussion. Everybody would be on their hands and knees praying for Cutler to get back. And with that being said also, and I'm sure, Train, you probably heard about this too, rumblings inside the locker room about who should have been the starter. So
mm-hmm.
I understand it's not completely unanimous that Cutler had been the starter to begin with. So got a little friction going on right there just in terms of who should be quarterbacking. So right out the gate, you got issues.
Yeah, and McCown, and T.S. thought you made a great point, like, and that's what I was trying to say a couple weeks ago, is that, you know, while Cutler's a good player, he had never played a stretch as good as what McCown had put together in those few games. And, you know, completely agree with the point that had McCown not played as good as he did, and let's be real, he wasn't playing like a backup quarterback, not within that offense, then it really wouldn't have been a question anyway. If he went out there, he just played mediocre. You know, they would have loved to have Cutler come back. All the fans really wouldn't have been in question. But the fact that McCown played so good is what got us during the conversation starting to begin with. So.
And let me remind everybody of this.
Hello, you play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out.
Love that line.
Hmm.
All right.
But it's the truth. You got to look at the wins and losses. And, yes, granted, he didn't win every single game, but you look at the performance of that position, and that's what brings up the controversy and all these questions. It's the performance of the position.
Right. Right.
That's understandable.
I don't think there's a quarterback controversy. I think Trestman's been very clear. Cutler's going to be the starter, and you know, the Bears will ride or die on his arm. You're home on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, right?
Exactly.
Okay, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Absolutely.
All right, real quick, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Tony Romo because we're already talking about whether or not he's going to play against the Eagles. But I think once again, I will just say, and you know, there is no saint on the phone, but I will say again, just briefly, it's a great game, great comeback by Dallas. And you saw what I tell everybody, that's the Tony Romo that I know. Does he do it every time? No. Has he had late game mishaps? Yes. But is he also capable of what you saw yesterday? Yes. Does that happen more than a late game mishaps? Yes. So I just want people to be fair. I got into it on Facebook with some guy that didn't even know me. That said, I'm not going to give Romo credit until he goes in and wins a playoff game. And my response was, well, then don't bash him. You know, I'm only talking to the people that bash him when he makes a mistake. Then when he plays well, then you got to acknowledge it. And what we saw, and clearly, you know, with that injury that hit in the third quarter, so this guy's playing 9 points down for a full quarter with a relatively potentially season-ending injury. And he literally wills them to victory. And let me just give a shout-out to the defense because they made two big stops down the stretch. But I do want to make one last comment on this, and then, you know, we don't really have to talk about this game too much, but, you guys want to talk about it quick. But I was at Slider Sports Bar in Plainville, Connecticut, and the Cowboys had the ball, and it was a 23-17 Washington. And some of the fellow fans were looking at me saying, you nervous? I said, nope. He said, you're not expecting Romo to do a Romo? I said, well, I don't know what a Romo is, but you mean do I expect him to make a mistake? Nope. And he said, so you feel confident that he's going to come down and score a touchdown and win this game? I said, I have absolutely no doubt that he's going to come down and lead this team to a touchdown. They were probably at about their 12-yard line. I said, I have no doubt that he's going to march him downfield and score a touchdown. And I said, I'll tell you guys what. My name is Commissioner T. I host the Madden Voice Internet talk radio show. We talk NFL. If Romo scores a touchdown on his drive, you guys will call into my show and give me props that I called it. And they said, okay. And I gave them the information. And, of course, they have not called in. But I do want to say that, yes, I did call it. I had no doubt in my mind because that's what you do when you're loyal to your team. You back and believe your team. You don't sit there like the bandwagon people do and say, here we go again. No. You know what your team is capable of, and Romo did it. Props to Romo, DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant, Terrence Williams, and props to the defense for coming up with a couple of stops. You guys didn't play great all game, but when we needed you, props to the defense. But that's it. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that. That was a Cowboys good win, but if you lose on Sunday, then it means nothing. Let's switch gears for a minute. And although we do want to cover next week's games on Thursday, I do think it wouldn't be fair if we didn't give K-Star a minute or three to talk about the fact that going into the last week of the season, and you got to love professional football because here we are, co-hosts of the hottest internet NFL talk radio show. Four if we count my brother. I call him part-time, but if we count my brother, four. But internet talk show host, the Madden Voice, hottest show out there to talk NFL. And the teams that we support, the Cowboys, the Steelers, and the Bears, all have something to play for going into Week 17. And two of the teams control their own destiny. Win, and you're in the division. The third team does need some help, but we proclaimed them dead at least twice this year. And as K-Star said, the Steelers are still, that was kind of cute, alive. K-Star, you know, go ahead and take a minute and talk about your Steelers' resiliency. And go ahead and talk about what do you think the chances of them sneaking in to the sixth seed on Sunday?
I just think that the Steelers football team this season is a direct representation of Mike Tomlin's character. The fact that this team is resilient, they don't make excuses, they never give up. It's a team that, you know, is littered with champions, former Super Bowl winners, and Big Ben, Troy Polamalu, guys like that. And you know, they kept fighting. It hasn't been a good year, not for the standards that are pretty lofty in Pittsburgh. But the fact that we are still alive in Week 17 when we have been pronounced dead by me a couple times and by, you know, analysts across the globe simply because, you know, we've had a failure of stopping the run. We still are plagued with that, but ever since we got Le'Veon Bell back, unfortunately we can't get out of September what happened. We started out like 0-4, but ever since we got Le'Veon Bell back, this team has looked completely different, especially on the offensive side of the ball. We've had a different element. We've been able to pretty high scoring. Ben has been playing terrific, and that game against Green Bay was just, again, another example of what a Mike Tomlin football team looks like, a team that will never give up, a team that will scratch and claw to the bitter end. And Like Herm Edwards said, you play to win the game. It don't matter. If you're about that life where you don't care, then retire. And the fact that, again, the Pittsburgh has a chance, not a great one, but a pretty good one, because what happened this past weekend, as we saw, the Ravens lost, the Bengals won, the Jets won, which actually the Pittsburgh Steelers needed. We still have a chance. All what needs to happen, and I say this loosely, is we need the Chiefs to beat the Chargers. We need the Dolphins to lose their game against the Jets, which is a division rival game, as is the Chiefs-Chargers game. And we need the Bengals at home to defeat the Ravens, as well as us win our game. And for the Steelers, we play at home against Cleveland. I'm not going to go too much into next week, but let me just say that I do think our chances, while they're not great, are decent. It wouldn't be, you know, unfathomable for the Bengals to beat the Ravens, I don't think. I don't think it would be unfathomable for the Jets to beat the Dolphins, and I certainly don't think it would be out of the realm of possibility for the Chiefs to beat the inconsistent Chargers. And it's just awesome. And it's been a down year, but the fact that this team is so resilient, even when they could have given up, I'm proud to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I can only hope that things go our way this upcoming Sunday. But, again, just I love Mike Tomlin. I love the character of this team.
Well, you know, and I will say, according to what I heard, I don't believe any of the six seeds have their own. No one can win an in as a six seed, if I'm correct. Oh,
yeah.
Is that correct?
Yep.
So whoever gets in needs help. So then, with that said, then the Steelers got just as much good a chance as anybody else because everybody needs help. So Well, I'll just say this, K-Star. I called your team dead. You guys didn't pack it up. You didn't quit. And I a lot of respect for your organization and for Mike Tomlin, because your team looked at some points this year atrocious. And I'll admit I was wrong. I really thought you guys were done. And you have a shot to get into the tournament, which is really all you know, at this point, you couldn't ask for anything better considering the year you've had. So you know what? I give credit where credit is due. Hats off to your team. Your defense has been playing better. Big Ben and Haley are trying to, you know, it seems like they're working it out and come to some middle ground. I still think Haley's horrible and y'all need to get rid of him. But, you know, at least they figured something out for the rest of this year to be able to coexist. And hats off to Tomlin. He probably managed that and orchestrated that. And, hey, I wish you the best. I got no horse in your race. I don't, you know, I personally don't care either way, but I wish your team a lot of luck because great way to fight, just way to fight to stay in it, man. I got to give your team credit. So,
I'm proud of them, and I do want to say that. When I was bashing Haley earlier this year, it was definitely justified, but they definitely have the offense played much much better the last couple of months. Again, to me, the biggest reason is because Le'Veon Bell. Came back. He missed the first month of the season, and he's been that guy. But the offense definitely stepped it up significantly. So I'm pretty optimistic just about the future going forward. Again, young Le'Veon Bell, who I thought was terrific again yesterday at Green Bay.
Cardinals beat Seattle in Seattle. And hats off to I don't remember the guy's name, but he predicts NFL games. He's not on TV. He's on the internet, but he's fairly well known. And I was reading his blog yesterday, and he said Cardinals will go into Seattle. He said, I'm calling it. They will go into Seattle, and they will win this game. And I'll find his name. I'm going to try to find his name. But, you know, that son of a gun called it. Hats off to him for calling that that game. Train, what are your thoughts on Cardinals going into Seattle, and does this change everything now in the NFC? Because everyone, including us here on this show, figured Seattle gets home field, it's done. Just sign them into the Super Bowl. Is this now, now that there's a blueprint, now that Russell Wilson has finally lost a home game, is this now a new playoffs now? Are people going to watch this tape? Is it wide open again in the NFC? Train? Dr. Train.
Sorry, muted myself again. I will always consider it, you know, wide open. But true enough, yeah, Seattle definitely has a stronghold with playing at home. I still think it's tough if you got to go into Seattle. But you definitely have to give credit to what the Cardinals did. And you definitely have to take a look at what the Cardinals did in order to beat them. Because they kept it. It was a very low-scoring game, which means their defense played well. Even Seattle's defense played, you know, up to par. I mean, they allowed 17 points, which is, you know, just kind of 3 points above what their league average is. So, you know, it's one of those situations where you just have to you got to be able to play with the noise, and you definitely got to be able to keep Seattle from putting up points. Because if you keep them from putting up points, you can keep it close. You can eventually pull it out. And I think that's exactly what the Cardinals did.
K-Star, what's the impact of the Cardinals' upset on tonight's San Francisco-Atlanta game?
Well, it's significant. I mean, from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, even if San Francisco wins or loses tonight, if San Francisco loses tonight, it's still a winner gets in the tournament next Sunday. I think I may actually be wrong, only because obviously Carolina and probably New Orleans, and I'm sorry, New Orleans is the probable wild card spot, so there's only one left. But I think that even no matter what the result of the game, tonight's game, since the San Francisco 49ers to go into Arizona, the winner of that gets in the playoffs. But I'm not sure if you guys heard differently, or is it the fact, or is it San Francisco has to win tonight and next week? I'm not really sure.
I am trying to look it up.
This game is meaningless tonight, from what I understand. It doesn't matter who wins.
That's rough.
Let's see. San Francisco clinches the division in a first round bye with two wins and a Seattle loss. So that would imply that
this
does mean something.
Yeah, yeah, San Francisco does need to win because they need to get – one, they need to get the game, even though it's not a division game. They need to get the game. And then next week, if they win that division game, that gives them a 5-1 division record. But they still would need a Seattle loss.
Yeah, to win the division. Wild card purpose-wise, I'm not really sure if the Niners need to win tonight and next week. Well, I know they need to win next week to get in the playoffs, obviously. But, I mean, I don't know if tonight matters or not. That's kind of tough.
It matters because according to it matters because if Seattle loses next week and San Francisco wins tonight and next week, they got a first round bye. They win the division and they have a first round bye.
They're definitely player starters. That's definitely for sure. They definitely have to play to win because the fact that even they have a chance to win the division, which seems ridiculous. Just that they still have a chance to win the division next week is crazy to me because
if I'm reading this correctly, they could be the number one seed.
That looks right. I mean, I'm looking at the standings right now.
If they win out and Seattle loses next week, and I don't know who Seattle's playing, so I don't know who they're playing. But if Seattle loses and San Francisco wins both games, they're the number one seed. Let's start right there. They need this game.
Even over Carolina though, because Carolina's 11-4, and I believe if Carolina wins next week, they beat earlier in the year.
They will both be 12-4. They will both have the same division record. They will both have the same conference record. So they didn't have a head-to-head.
Oh, they did. So, Panthers played them and beat them.
Did the Panthers beat the Niners?
Yeah. It was like 10-9. They played like a few weeks, or played about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and the Panthers beat them.
Then the Panthers would be the number one seed.
Either way, the Niners clearly have someone to play for tonight, and that's been established just the fact that they could still win.
Yes. Carolina has to lose. I'm sorry. I missed that.
They could still win the division despite what Carolina does.
Yes. Carolina would have to lose for San Francisco to get home field. They can win the division with two wins and a Seattle loss.
Right.
And get a first round bye. And they could get home field if Carolina loses. Seattle loses. If Carolina loses or ties and Seattle loses and San Francisco wins, they're number one seed. So that is correct. So the short answer is yes, this game means something.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So they're going to – and you know what? It means something because it's the last game at Candlestick Park too. These guys aren't going to go out there and lay an egg on this last game in this, with all the, Montana and Rice, I'm sure, is there, Young and all these superstars, Roger Craig and Dwight Clark and, I don't know, what's his name will be there.
Ronnie Lott, I'm sure.
Yeah, the former coach. What's his name? The guy that Steve Mariucci was quarterback's coach. Mooch will be there. I mean, Walsh passed away, and Seifert died too, didn't he? George Seifert?
I don't know about Seifert. I really don't.
I thought Seifert might have passed away too, but if he didn't pass away, he'll be there. This game definitely means something to San Francisco. But I will say this. My opinion is. I think the Cardinals changed the complete landscape of the NFC because not just so much because everyone else knows, but now Seattle has felt it too. Now Seattle goes out at home and realizes they're not invincible. They had this nice thing at home. They had, a lot of those players had never lost at home, including starting quarterback Russell Wilson. The 12th man and, toughest stadium in the NFL to play in. And guess what? A team that hasn't even officially qualified for the playoffs yet came in and beat you on your stadium. You know, so I think anyone else that goes in there is going to feel pretty good about their chances, you know, and it's no longer going to be the mystique of playing there and you just know you're going to lose. No, it's going to be, hey, you know what, if Arizona can do it, so can we. I think it opens up the NFC. I really do. Cam, I got to give him credit. He comes back, takes him back down, and beats my Saints. And you know, I'll just say that I'm in two leagues, fantasy football leagues, and I agonized over this decision to start Breeze or Andy Dalton in the championship game against K-Star. And I scoured the internet, I read stuff, and I listened to the experts and the pundits, and you know, I looked at Dalton's fantasy track record, and I looked at, you know, Breeze, and yes, he was playing outside, and but I looked at his history against Carolina, which he has a pretty good one, and you know, I just felt like Breeze got me here. I won a ship with Breeze before. I've been to two other title games with Breeze, and if you don't know, then you stick with the guy that's done it. Because when you look at the potential of who's going to score the more points potentially, on their best day, Breeze is always going to outscore Dalton on his best day, period. So I could not have lived with myself if I started Dalton and then Breeze goes and does what he did in game one and throws four touchdowns and has a Breeze day and Dalton lays an egg, because now I'm an idiot, because you know what Breeze is capable of. I can live with this decision. Dalton played the game of his life. He don't throw four touchdowns in a game like this. And he happened to do that in the game that I wish that I had started him. But you know what? I do, because obviously now it's a pick 'em game tonight. It's Kaepernick against Gonzalez. And, you know, Kaepernick is not a juggernaut in points. So who knows? I still think K-Star would have the advantage. You know, I still think there's a stronger chance that K-Star would have won under that circumstance as well. But that said, I don't have a problem with my decision because it was Drew Brees. And how do you live with losing the championship game because you benched Drew Brees for Andy Dalton? I don't care what the matchup is. You're benching Drew Brees. You just don't. Healthy Drew Brees. You know, and I didn't know that they were going to have freaking, you know, monsoons in the second half. I saw the weather report, but I didn't realize it was going to be that bad. That might have affected my decision. But, hey, you know what? I will say that it is unlikely that I will win, and K-Star, you know, will have beat me three times this year if the score holds out. And congratulations. I mean, he deserves the win. He's an excellent fantasy football player because I think he won two other ships yesterday, too. Yeah. So a guy knows what he's doing. And for all of you Madden Voice fans out there, you know, I think next year we're going to add a K-Star-led fantasy football segment because obviously the guy knows how to play the game. And maybe he can give y'all some tips on how to improve your standing in your league. So I don't know, K-Star, if you want to comment. You know, you're about to be the new champion of the EAFL Fantasy Football League.
First of all, T, thank you. Well, it's not over. We pretty much know that it kind of is, just in the sense that you're down, I think, 25 by Kaepernick, you have Gonzo. First of all, I understand, and it's tough for you to really beat yourself up for starting Drew Brees or Andy Dalton at the end of the day. I feel like you could live with that decision much better than had it played out the opposite of that. If you start Dalton, if Brees went off, you would not be able to live with yourself whatsoever. That'd be bad. You know, I was a little happy to see, you know, Brees in the lineup a bit. The only reason why I say that is just because, like, I don't know, Andy Dalton is so weird this year as a fantasy player. He's just, like, hit or miss every single game. And the matchup against Minnesota is what was desirable to you at home because, you know, there's been games where Dalton has gone off and Brees hasn't been so great on the road in comparison to him being at home. But, you know, I would have started Drew Brees there, too. I couldn't make myself probably bench Drew Brees for Andy Dalton, even if I had a feeling, like a gut feeling, he would probably went off, just because, again, how do you
couldn't
start
do it.
How do you bench the horse that got you there, right?
I couldn't do it. I don't blame you. Train has said it better than all of us. Train has said it the best on this show. There are four horsemen in the NFL, okay? One of them's out. We'll see if he comes back Sunday or not. You know, Brady, Manning, who, you know, having an insane year, and Drew Brees. Those are the guys that you know get it done week in and week out. And how would I, you know, yeah, okay, I'm going to lose. But how do you sit down and say, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that's what fantasy football is all about, being able to make that gutsy call. And I live and I learn. Now, maybe a year from now, if I'm in the same predicament, yeah, maybe Drew Brees is on that bench, you know, and maybe I'm going with my backup who has a better matchup and Drew Brees is playing outdoors in a rough,
Carolina,
you know, yeah, at Carolina or at San Francisco or somewhere,
right,
at Seattle or something, you know. So I live and I learn, but I can take losing like this better than if I had benched Breeze and then, you know, Dalton just laid an egg and I'm sitting there looking at Breeze with 30, 35, 40 points on the bench.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he was your keeper anyway. And the fact of the matter is, that'd be the equivalent of me benching my keeper, Jamal Charles, for a running back who was decent but had a great matchup. Let me tell you something. I would never do that. I don't care. Jamal Charles will play in every game for me, just as Drew Breeze be available this season, played every game for you, and I don't think anyone can criticize that decision. As far as fantasy stuff goes for next year, I'm absolutely all about that. Definitely going to have some fantasy segments next year for everyone out there. It'll be a lot of fun. And, yeah, as of yesterday, it seems that in tonight's only game, really, that's on the rocks for me. But I think, again, I won this game in our league. The other two games, I was in championship game of, I won pretty decisively yesterday. Shout out to Peyton Manning and Shady McCoy for being big parts of those championship runs. But, yeah, three leagues out of six joined this year and ended up winning, so I feel pretty good about that. And, you know, the AFL is a serious league, man. 14 teams, PPR, it was a lot of fun this year. And, again, it's not officially over, but definitely a lot of fun being in the league, and definitely looking forward to defending my championship if all falls into place tonight, as it should. Now, as far
I'm
as
praying.
Goes,
wait a minute, I am praying that. Let me see now. I'm praying. I need somebody on the Falcons to come in there and knock Kaepernick out first play. You know, his concussion or something. You know, I don't want to. You know, I'm not saying season ending, but just for the night. You know, knock Kaepernick out.
Would be the ideal.
Yeah,
that'd be horrible.
Back and for Atlanta, Ryan or the other guy. I don't know,
yeah.
But whoever.
I'm looking at this and really, it's not far fetched that Tony Gonzalez can put up 20-something fantasy points in the PPR league.
Oh, absolutely. He's done
it
before.
No, but Kaepernick, though, I mean, let's be real. Kaepernick's playing against Atlanta. Like, if anything, you know, Kaepernick is playing against Atlanta, but I've seen several
games on the weekly where people have that starter that's going into that last game, and he gets knocked out.
That's all
game.
I'm
saying. It can happen. Hold on. Let's not wish that. Guys, first of all, he will prefer to be on Peyton White if he did that.
Why can't I wish it?
Hey, you know what? I don't blame you. I don't blame you, but, man, that would just be the worst way to lose.
Man, K-Star, if that happens, oh, he pulls a groin or something. Ooh.
That would be
terrible.
Hilarious. In a sense.
I would not find that to be funny. Either.
But let me say this. If you had to pull the trigger, man, that would have been a high five gutsy call to make Andy Dalton. And honestly, going back to the conversations that you guys were having last week when y'all were having your battle last week before the game, I really thought you were going to pull the trigger. I really thought you were going to play Andy Dalton because
I was looking at the matchups, and even if
Breeze plays okay, he's going to be in a more hostile environment than Andy Dalton, and I can see T just pulling this trigger this one time. So I actually thought you was going to pull the trigger last week.
Let me tell you something. I'm in two leagues. The other league, I do not have a backup, so it's Breeze all the way. And I'm actually winning by about 18 points in that league, but they have Frank Gore, and that's it for tonight. But the point, the scoring is very different. It's much harder. I mean, I can't describe it because I don't know all the details, but it's much harder in the other league to get 20 points with a player. Let's put it that way. So Gore has to go off tonight for this guy to come back and beat me. So I'll be watching.
Probably and
he had Alex Smith as his quarterback, so he actually did worse than Drew Brees points-wise in this league, so I'm okay. But I really, honestly, when I got up Sunday morning, Dalton was my starter. I was going to do it. And,
wow.
And my, you know, And I put this on Facebook when I was talking about the Cowboys, but it is a gift and it is a curse as to who I am as a human being. I'm loyal. I am loyal to no end. Loyal on all aspects of my life. And I just said, I felt like Drew Brees had done so much for me as a starter that I could not see benching him and taking a chance that, you know, if you're going to bet money on a quarterback, even in against Carolina, even away in a hostile environment, is there one that you would put money on better than Drew Brees, who plays this team twice a year? And I felt like, you know, it was a big game. They had a lot on the line with this game. I thought about Sean Payton and the excellent coach that he is, and I just said, man, I can't do it. I couldn't. When I woke up, Dalton was my starter. I said, I'm going to take a chance because I'm going to split my risk and go Dalton here and Breeze over here and see what happens. And then I went online, and I'm reading, and everybody's out there saying, yeah, Breeze has a tough matchup, but he's pretty much had Carolina's number, and y'all saw what he did a few weeks ago, and, you know, and Sean Payton understands they're playing outdoors, and they're going to have a plan, and da-da-da, and I'm like, then I looked at Dalton's history, and like, you know, and I was like, nah, man, Dalton, you know, he ain't consistent
up
enough, down. Man, this is for the
up
money.
And down, yeah, Andy Dalton is just
money.
Wildly
I'm
inconsistent.
For the money, so what do? You bench your money guy? No, you ride your superstar. And that's what I did. And I, you know what, I stand behind it. But I tell you, Train, you read me right. I was real close. Real close.
I thought he was going to. I really did. Hey, and Train, I don't know if you noticed this, but I think I'm the only guy because I played in three of these. But these three playoff games I was involved in, every single game I had a different quarterback starting for me. I mean, I had McCown versus you, and that's why I'm so affectionate to Mr. Josh McCown because he played the Cowboys and did that thing. Last week, I rode the Kirk Cousins train, and this week, Colin Kaepernick. So shout out to Jamal Charles, long story short, and Demaryius Thomas and Keenan Allen for holding it down for me, making the quarterback switches. Just we had no quarterback all season. We were just playing Russian with that quarterback. We were just swapping revolving door. We had no quarterback all year. We were just working it, man, and shout out to those skill position guys for me.
That's mostly everybody. If you don't have one of the four horsemen, you are playing Russian roulette with quarterbacks because you need to find the matchup. So
yeah,
I mean,
I'm hoping to find like a Big Ben or just someone at some point. No, yo, quarterbacks in the league were hoarded, man. Like it was tough to find a quarterback for the longest time. I picked up McCown, just hoping that you know he could keep it going weeks ago, and you know there's an upgrade over Kaepernick because I've been really too pleased with Kaepernick this season. But yeah, dude, it's been tough to find a quarterback in this league. So.
JB, welcome back.
Appreciate it. Sorry about that, but I had to go grab something for the better half. Got to do it when I can.
I hear you. Hey, listen, I am about to lose my fantasy football championship tonight. Are you in any championship games this weekend?
Oh gosh, you would pour salt in the wound.
I got the same wound, brother.
I was in the championship yesterday and ended up having
Pause that real quick. Breaking news, Cowboys are going to work out David Carr. Just came across NFL Network. Good Lord. That's desperation there. Okay, now I'm thinking Romo ain't playing. If they're going to work out David Carr, that's desperation. I don't think Romo's going to play. Okay, I'm sorry, JB. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I ended up having the worst performance of the whole season. So there's no way on God's green earth I'm winning this one. The bright side of it is it's to my boy, Nate. So if I'm going to lose it to anybody, I'm at least lose to my boy. But
Nate.
Yeah, you know Nate, though. But
yeah.
I still hate losing. Damn it,
oh, yeah.
You just don't understand.
No, we Floyds, man. We don't like to lose, man. We don't like to lose.
Oh, God. I was cussing all night.
No, yeah. All right, last couple of topics, and then we're going to get out of here. K-Star, I'm going to let you start off this one. Von Miller is out for the season. What do you think this means for the Broncos and their defense?
That's a monster blow. This defense isn't very good to begin with, and it's crippling to their pass rush because, again, you know, Payton would put the points on the board and the defense could put his ears back, and Von Miller is the best one at doing that. They don't have an Oklahoma Zubermaville anymore. He's just in Baltimore. So this is very, very impactful. Honestly, I think they're in trouble in the playoffs only because, again, they're going to have to find a pass rush somewhere, and they're going to have to start blitzing more, and Von Miller is just an animal coming at the quarterback. So this is very bad. This is very brutal. This is an awful, awful, awful devastating blow to Denver.
How'd they do the beginning of the year without Miller?
They're great, man, but it's
okay.
The playoffs.
Enough said. I don't think it's
better. I was going to take it there. Really, it's a blow in a sense that he's a leader. You know his potential, and you hate to lose a player with that kind of potential getting ready to go into the playoffs. But as far as their unit, their defensive unit has performed the same since he's been back.
Yeah.
There's been no significant difference with Von Miller being there.
Yeah, this team is going to win or lose on the arm of Peyton Manning, and on that is the last question of the night. JB, I'm going to start with you. Peyton Manning just broke Brady's single-game touchdown record at 51 with a game to play, and is threatening Drew Brees' single-season yardage record. I think he needs like 270 to break it. So, you know, unless he sprains an ankle or has something, he's probably going to do that in the first half of next week's game. That said, you know, is he up for our NFL record? Fifth MVP. Is this it? It's done. He's the MVP, and let's just move on.
Yeah, I think so. I think given the fact that he's really been the difference with the Broncos when he came on board last season. I mean, obviously, they lucked out with Tebow's miracle in that little mini playoff run they had. But it's a completely different team when you got Manning at the helm, and he's got weapons.
What did you say about Tebow?
I said that the miracle run that they had with him.
One game.
Obviously, he was one of the game. They're on defense, total yards and scoring, playing one of the most anemic offenses in all of football. The ankle of Big Ben is a lot better than it was against San Francisco, which is definitely good news. But while we lost Mendon Hall, you know, again, Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, two prolific receivers for us. I just don't see how, you know, Tim Tebow and the Broncos can match us point for point at Mile High. Again, that offense is just horrendous to begin with, and they're playing against number one defense in the league. Troy Polamalu, James Harrison, Lamar Woolsey, they're coming for you, Tim Tebow. I love you, but not this Sunday. Not this time.
Okay. I'm sorry. Jay doesn't know the history of that, but I never forget that this was K-Star. Before that game, saying that Tim Tebow's time was coming to an end. And this was my response to K-Star before that game. You don't want to come on the Madden Voice if y'all lose to Denver, man.
I would forever hate Tim Tebow.
I'm going to get on the train. Man. Get on right now. Okay? With what you gave me about Romo, and how on this and that and Romo and he didn't do it and blah, 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 all that bull. Man, do not. I'm going to tell you now, get the flu, get a cold, get something, man. Sprain it, get a high ankle sprain, something. But you don't want to come on the Madden Voice next Tuesday night. I don't care if Ben gets knocked out the first play and don't play the whole game. Don't come on the show next week because there's no way on earth the Steelers should lose it. All right, I'm sorry, JB. I just, you know.
I'm glad you did that to bring me up to speed because I was like, who the hell made that prediction? But I might add a little cigarette weed, but that's another story. to just hurry up and finish what I'm going to say, and then I'll just move on. It's going to be a fifth one. I can't see anybody else that can come up and challenge for the MVP. I think he's got it hands down.
Okay. Hey, K-Star, if you're still there, do you agree? Is it a done deal? Is Peyton Manning's record fifth?
Yeah. Man, he's booked the all-time touchdown record in the season, 51. He's had over 5,000 yards. They've been consistently probably, if not the best, one of the best teams in the NFL all year, and we all know why. It's because of number 18 leading the charge. So, yeah, definitely Peyton Manning's going to win the MVP this year.
Train?
Yeah, I mean, Denver is the Denver it is today because of Peyton Manning. I mean, if you guys remember when he was looking to get signed there, I mean, Demaryius Thomas knew what was going to happen with his career, and it's happening right now. So I know some people have said, yeah, Tom Brady because, yeah, he's down there playing with nothing, and, hey, that's great for Tom Brady. He does what he does, but right now Peyton Manning is breaking records, and he's the reason why that team is playing at the level that it's playing now.
Yeah, personally for me, I would vote for Brady simply for that reason. He's got them right in the mix, one of the best teams in the NFL with so much less than Manning. But where I would have to go to Manning would be he's breaking records and they're winning games while he's breaking records. It's not just he's putting up stats, meaningless stats. You know, they're winning games, they're blowing people out. You know, 2/3 of their games. And so, you know, it's kind of hard to not give it to him because he is the difference with a defense that's been up and down. You know, I mean, when you look at the game against Dallas and it was a shootout, Romo Manning, well, that game came down to, you know, Romo made a mistake, Manning didn't, and neither defense showed up. But, you know, that's an example of an MVP and a good quarterback, you know, and Manning, I mean, you know, it's almost unfair. This guy goes out and is about to win his fifth, you know. It's just insane. But, you know, to me, the other side of that, and I don't mean to, like, you know, rain on his parade, you got one Super Bowl, dude. And your brother, who has not ever been a league MVP, has two. You know, if you can't close the deal and take this all the way and get a Super Bowl, it's almost, what is it for? You know, what is it for? You know, he all these MVPs and one Super Bowl. You know, this feels off there. And that's where we go back to say that Peyton Manning's probably the best regular season quarterback to ever play the game. But then when you go into the postseason, you know, now he's in Tom Brady world, and he can't beat Tom Brady in the postseason for the most part. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, 20 after the hour here in Bristol, Connecticut. And, you know, again, we said we were going to do a little bit of an abbreviated show so we could allow people to get back to watching SportsCenter, NFL Network, NFL Compound, whatever, get ready for the Monday Night Football game, San Francisco at Atlanta. Last final topic, train, does Atlanta have any shot tonight to pull the upset and beat San Francisco at home?
After what I've seen this season, yes. I'm sorry, there's no team that said that, yeah, just because they got a better record and, you know, pretty much the records are flipped. They're 10-4, they're 4-4. I mean, yes, absolutely. They do have a chance. And if I was Atlanta with the way everybody else has been playing, I would play my heart out simply because you got to love football for that reason.
Yeah. JB, Atlanta got any shot tonight or is this going to be a blowout?
Well, yeah, Atlanta got a shot. Yeah, shot in the leg, shot in the arm, shot right between the eyes. Come on, man.
Let me also
say this too, T. This is going to be the last regular season game of Kansas State, and just from a football fan's perspective, great stadium from what I can see on TV. Going to miss watching games being played at the state.
Yeah, absolutely. K-Star, Atlanta got a shot, or is this a blowout?
It's a blowout. I mean, they have a shot, but it's going to be a blowout, I'm telling you now. Just the matchup's not very good for Atlanta. And they're in the last game at Candlestick Park, as you said earlier. So it's going to be rocking in there tonight.
Wait a minute. Did he? I think he answered both. He used both answers. That's not fair.
Yeah, he did.
All right, it's going to be a blowout. They have no shot. There you go.
There you go.
Hey, you know what? Just like T has no shot to win tonight. How about that? How about I'm just being very definitive in my statements?
Yeah, I can't argue that one, man. I'd love to. But let me tell you something, man. Don't let your boy get knocked out the first, second play of the game, man, because woo!
I would be laughing and in tears all at the same time.
Oh, my God.
I'll be in tears for a different reason.
Well, I'll just say this. I pick San Francisco to win, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think Atlanta's got too much pride, and they have had a couple of decent games this year. They're on national TV. They know all the focus is on San Francisco. They know their season's done. Tony Gonzalez's last start, on a Monday Night Football game. I don't know who the starting quarterback's going to be. It wouldn't surprise me if they threw Ryan back in the mix. I think Atlanta's going to fight. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. But I do think San Francisco will win the game. Now, for me, a blowout in the NFL is two possessions, more than two possessions, because too many teams have come back. You can't say 10 points is a blowout anymore. You know, you got to look at 17 points, you know, and say, okay, that's a blowout. I think San Francisco is going to win by 7 to 10 points, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think Atlanta's going to fight. I really do. This could be their Super Bowl. You know what I mean? So that said, all right, Train, last words.
My Bears laid an egg. It's a really stinky one. But we are still playing for the division as of next week, so all focus is shift to Green Bay, and what better than to win your division defeating your long arch rival. So, yo, best of luck to the Bears next week. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to a lot of games next week.
All right, K-Star. Oh, wait a minute. Before I go to K-Star, we have an emergency message coming through. Let me patch this message through. Top priority. This is like big time, okay? So, guys, don't go anywhere. We got it. This is a high priority. Okay, wait a minute. All right, yep, it's coming through now.
We'd like to take a moment to thank you and your family for the warmth and friendship that you've shown ours, for sharing your hospitality and your stories.
In this holiday season, we're reminded that the things that unite us as a people are more powerful and enduring than anything that sets us apart. And we all have a stake in each other, in something larger than ourselves. So from our family to yours, I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
All right. Sorry. And the Secret Service wants to pass the message through. You just let it come through. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm sorry I had to stop. It was about to go K-Star. But clearly the Obamas wanted to come on to Madden Voice and wish everyone a Merry Christmas. So thank you, President Obama and the First Lady. We're honored because I don't think you're doing that on any sports show tonight. I don't think you turn on Countdown or NFL Network, you're going to see the Obamas saying a Merry Christmas. But they did that on the Madden Voice. So you better recognize. All right. K-Star,
last thing I want to add to you. I do want to say, you know, Merry Christmas to all our Madden fans, man. Still appreciate their support. Okay, now I'm done.
Absolutely. K-Star, final words.
Did I just get cut off by Barack Obama and then Train consecutively? I mean, I don't know if I should feel honored that I got cut off by Barack Obama or just blatantly disrespected because he chose to cut off over anyone else.
Bipartisan show. That's the President of the United States. You know, you got to yield.
I'm feeling pretty good, though, man. I mean, I'm like a three-time, Fantasy League champion. I know he's the president and all. I just feel like that's kind of a little disrespectful.
Yeah, well,
I'm just kidding.
You'll live.
I'm just kidding. No, happy holidays, everyone. Co-sign what President Barack Obama said. And hope everyone has a safe and warm holidays.
All right. JB, last words.
Yeah, happy holidays to everybody. Enjoy football. This is what the NFL is all about, coming down to the final week, and we still have division titles up for grabs. I mean, again, from a football fan's perspective, it don't get no better than this. So enjoy your football, enjoy your drinks, be safe, Merry Christmas.
All right. Thank you, K-Star. Thank you, Dr. Train. Thank you, Brother Jay. And I will also echo the sentiments of my co-host. First and foremost, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everybody in Madden Voice Nation. We hope you enjoy your holiday. All to all the family, friends, and everyone out there that supports the Madden Voice. We appreciate the love. We got nothing but love for you. And, enjoy the holiday. Enjoy your Christmas Eve, your Christmas Day. And the Madden Voice will be back on the air Thursday night. Time to be determined. And we'll give you the latest on Tony Romo. We'll give you the latest on Aaron Rodgers. We'll give you a really deep look at the NFC East and the NFC North titles on the line. We'll take apart the AFC sixth seed and give our predictions on who's going to win the sixth seed and why. And we'll look at some of the key games. 13 out of the 16 games this weekend have an impact on a playoff race. So for those of you who are playing in a championship game, which I hope I am, chances are your players will be playing for something, which is a good thing. So for Dr. Train, for K-Star, for Brother Jay, I'd like to thank you all for listening to the Madden Voice. Enjoy the San Francisco Atlanta game tonight. And remember, on the Madden View, Hey, that's actually not a bad name for a show, the Madden View. Well, anyway, but on the Madden Voice, all feuds are settled on the field. Good night, everybody.